And we're back with the third episode of the Jag Bros with JT, Jack, and myself, Joey, here. We are super excited. We took a little time off. Now we're ramping back up with training camp just about to start. We're 62 days away from the first NFL kickoff. And today we're going to talk a little bit about the position breakdown of our offense and defensive line, key Jag stats, and also getting into the rankings of the head coach in the NFL and where we think they should be. But we're going to start off with reading out some of our Apple Podcast reviews. Your reviews are very important to us. Giving us 5 stars gets us out there in front of other Jag fans. And we're going to read off some of our favorite ones. And this may become a new segment for us.
Yeah, thanks so much for all these great and fun 5-star reviews. If you would do us a favor of clicking 5-star reviews, whether you're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever, just helps us get the word out, helps Jaguar fans and more catch on and follow us on the podcast. So here's one. This is, it was always the Jags. Far and away, the best sibling-hosted Jaguar-specific podcast I've ever listened to. Very cool. All 3 hosts' names start with J. Nice detail. Since the Succession finale, I've been searching for an equally entertaining sibling dynamic and think I've found excellent analysis, no ads, and several humble brags about their international travel. This pod has it all. Thanks so much for that 5-star review, BT Disc 8524. Appreciated a ton.
Jack, not only do we have humble brags about our travel, but we also have humble brags about our listenership recently. As of the last podcast, I believe we've had folks from Indonesia, Canada, Japan, Brazil, Germany, all listening to us. So we want to give you guys all a shout out. Appreciate the love from all over the world. Jags Nation is certainly growing and is an international presence. The second review that we have is from Honest Reviewer 86, saying lost his mind. And I appreciate this one because it was specifically about me. He said, this brother named JT has lost his mind and I love it. So worth the listen, so insightful and full of passion. Well, I appreciate that, Honest Reviewer number 86, and looking forward to the highs and lows of the Jacksonville Jaguars 2023 season coming up.
Yes, and I got another review here from Free JT Raymond. I don't know if we really want to let him go off, but he goes, I walked into this podcast thinking that I would be similar to an on-field performance of the actual Jaguars. It's not much better insight from these brothers than what I see on the field from the team. Great job, bros.
Absolutely. Yeah. And talking a little bit about, we had a fun segment last time, episode 2. Make sure you check it out if you missed it, where JT, we read some of his fun Facebook posts over the years of being a diehard Jaguars fans, the ups and the downs. So we will definitely be bringing that segment back in the future. It was a blast. Here's one more again. This just helps us connect with more and more people. And so this is from the one and only Jeff Raymond. That's another Jay Raymond. He is our uncle. And he said, spectacular. He said, I was not a Jaguars fan until I started listening to this podcast. These brothers do a great job bringing insights that only come from being lifelong fans. They make the ups and downs of Jaguars fandom come to life. I can't wait to hear their next podcast. Thanks, Uncle Jeff. Thanks, Jeff Raymond. And seriously, thanks all for giving some 5-star ratings, some reviews. It encourages us to keep going and encourages us just to have a blast and have a lot of fun. And so as I mentioned earlier, we're going to have new segments throughout. So last time we covered some of JT's Facebook posts. This time we're going to cover some stats with me. We may call this Jack's Jag Stats. We may need a better name, but that's the best I could come up with. And so sometimes I'll cover team stats, sometimes individual stats. Just want to dig a little bit deeper into perhaps stats that you may not see. You know, for instance, you're going to, of course, see QB yards, running yards, receiving yards. But what are some of these stats that are really key, really important that you may not pay as much attention or may not notice? So looking back at 2022, these are the highest statistics for our offense, our lowest statistics, highest and lowest for our defense as well. I want to get your insights, JT and Joey, on these as well. And so the first one, talking about the offense, this was really interesting to me that our highest rated offensive category across the NFL last year was yards per rush. So we placed fifth last year at 4.9 yards. And so here's my question for you guys. Do we run the ball more or less? When you think about, obviously, Trevor Lawrence taking a step forward, adding Calvin Ridley, the passing offense is going to take a step forward. But you also look at drafting Tank Bigsby, ETN. Do you see the Jaguars running? And here's how we're going to do it. Significantly more, a little bit more, the same, significantly less, or a little bit less than last year.
I'll go first. I think it's going to be either the exact same or a little bit less. It's interesting that there was such an efficient running yards per carry for our running backs. It makes sense. Travis Etienne is certainly one of the more explosive backs in the NFL. But at the end of the day, and I think there were times at the beginning of the season last year where we were pretty frustrated that we felt like we abandoned the run at times too soon. Doug Peterson is a quarterback. He prefers to pass. He's going to be looking for opportunities to pass. And oh, by the way, look, if you look at our offseason moves, it's primarily in supporting the passing attack. And so my guess is it'd be difficult for us to see us run the ball more, but I would certainly think that stat will be pretty similar, I would suspect, is one of the better in the league with a yards per carry perspective. I don't see us really increasing the amount of carries we're getting. Joey?
I actually disagree with you here. I think in mindset, it'll probably be the same. That's what they want to do. But I don't think we're going to be playing from behind as much as we have been in the past where we had to pass the ball so much. I think we're going to start off with the lead a lot more, and I think we're going to have to run the ball a lot more. And that's why we've beefed up this running back room with the addition of Dearness Johnson, drafting Tank Bigsby. We still have Jermichael Hasty, and you know, obviously Travis Etienne is going to be very explosive. And I think the play action will be huge for them as well. But I see us running a bit more because we're in the lead.
Jack, be the tiebreaker for us.
Yeah, I'm so curious on this one. My gut tells me that we're actually going to pass the ball even more, just because when you have a franchise quarterback of the level of Lawrence, that I think he's just going to take more and more control of the offense, that you're going to see an offense that looks more and more over time, like the Chiefs, where so much of it revolves around Mahomes, of course. I think you're going to see a lot revolve around Lawrence, but it's going to be interesting because we definitely have beefed up our running attack. Again, it was a strength for us last year. So something to watch for the Jaguars offense is going to be, what is the running attack? What does the running offense look like for us next year? And so on the flip side, still on the offensive side of the ball, one of our weakest statistics last year, 2022, was our red zone touchdown percentage. So this is the percentage of when we're in the red zone, what percentage do we get a touchdown out of that trip? And so we got a touchdown 55.5% of the time that we were in the red zone. That landed us at 17th, so just slightly below average. So here's my question for you guys, Joey, JT, how do we improve that statistic next year? Obviously, you're in the red zone. You want to score 6 points. So how do we get higher? How do we get a better percentage next year in that area?
Yeah, I think this statistic's going to drastically change, adding Calvin Ridley, who is a red zone touchdown magnet. His route running gets him open in the end zone. He's very good at that. Plus the addition of Tank Bigsby being able to push the ball into the end zone. I know that's one of Travis Etienne's one kind of fault, is he's an amazing running back out in the open, especially in the middle of the field, but kind of when in the red zone, he couldn't just get it in there. So I think that the addition of Tank Bigsby and Calvin Ridley, and also just the offense of scheme, it's going to definitely drastically change this to, I say, almost 80% touchdown rate.
Yeah, well, 80% would be an amazing accomplishment. Jack, I think first place is probably closer to the 50%. But I do agree with you, Joey, that there's going to be a good amount of improvement Calvin Ridley being one, Tank Bigsby being one, but two, I think Doug Peterson had a little bit of rust at the beginning of the year in his play calling around the goal line. I mean, there's a lot of times I get Etienne's a smaller back, but at least give him the opportunity to score. I mean, how many times were we screaming at the TV in September and October when it's first and goal, second and goal, third and goal, all from inside the 3 yard line, and we decide not to run the ball? And while Christian Kirk did a great job this year scoring touchdowns, I think he had eight or so touchdowns this season. He's not the biggest guy, and he's not the biggest target. And so you'd like to see us have one more big target like Calvin Ridley, have a goal line back that's being able to score from short yardage. And you know what? If that means our yards per carry goes down a little bit, I'd be okay with that being slightly more efficient inside the five.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Would love to see that stat go up. And it would be interesting, to your point, JT, what those numbers look like over the course of the season, because of course our offense got drastically better the second half of the season into the playoffs. So of course, hopefully that just carries over into 2023 with all that you guys talked about, whether it's Ridley, Ingram, of course, is going to be a big factor in the red zone. Even I would say Lawrence running the ball is going to be definitely a threat, a touchdown threat. Once you get inside the 5-10 yard line, he's deceptively quick, got good speed, and of course, good size as well.
Well, the other thing you have to remember too is Trevor was not clutch at the beginning of the year. He really wasn't clutch for the first three quarters of the year. I think Correct. That was something that at least I was really questioning his ability to be able to become clutch in the NFL. And you could make the argument that part of being clutch is scoring inside the red zone. How many times did it feel like he turned over the ball himself inside the 20? And so I think we'll certainly see some positive regression in the coming year, just by the fact that he's not going to be throwing picks or fumbles inside the red zone. So really excited to see what we can do. And I would imagine our points per game should go up because of that one stat alone.
Awesome. Well, switching over to the defensive side of the ball, I want to give you guys two quick stats and love to hear your thoughts as well. So our weakest area, which I know we're going to talk about more here in a little bit as well, was certainly getting after the quarterback. I'm imagining these two stats are really closely aligned. And so our weakest stat on the defensive side of the ball was that we gave up 43.8% of third downs. So that landed us at 29th in the league, meaning that we were only better than three teams in the entire NFL. So that's a scary stat. The other one is, again, just getting after the quarterback. We finished 2022 with 28 sacks, which landed us at 26th place. Just to talk about the gap of where the Jaguars are versus some of the top defenses, the Eagles finished number one with 70 sacks, and we had 28, less than 1.5 sacks a game. And so what are your thoughts here in those numbers? How do the Jaguars increase, whether it's sacks, getting after the quarterback, being better on third down, stopping the team, getting them off the field? What do you guys think there?
I'll go first. I think last year the defense had a big mentality of bend, don't break. And while that mentality can be good sometimes, I think that they bent too much on third downs. It didn't feel like they really were trying to stonewall and get off the field. They were just trying to prevent a touchdown. And if they gave up the first down, then it was whatever. I think they need to change the mentality a little bit and be trying to get off the field a lot faster instead of just trying them to keep them out of the end zone. And then getting after the quarterback. I mean, they had a lot of pressures and they were getting close, but the team's got to finish. I need to see Josh Allen finish a lot more of his sacks. I think with Roy Robinson Harrison, I think he needs to play like he did in the last five games. And if you looked at it, Josh Allen had a sack in each one of those last five games that Roy Robinson Harrison played well. So if he plays well, I think Josh Allen feeds off of that next to him. It helps kind of bull rush that offensive line, and Josh Allen can slip through because he's just not the kind of defensive end or back that's going to be able to run someone over and get to the quarterback. He's going to have to kind of slip through and make a move and get to the quarterback that way. So I think it's going to be a key is Roy Robinson Harrison for Josh Allen.
Yeah, no, it's the one word that I would say about the Jacksonville Jaguars defense last year was inconsistent. And sometimes it was inconsistent game to game where we're looking lights out in some games. And sometimes it's literally within the middle of the game. For example, the Chargers playoff game where all they do is go score four straight touchdowns, albeit with some turnovers and some help from our Jaguars offense, helping the Chargers out with some of their field position. To the point where we pretty much didn't give up a single point there after a while. And so I would say for the third down one of the biggest differences it felt like is we rarely made a team play left-handed. What I mean by that is whatever they specifically wanted to do, they were able to do. And look no further than the Chiefs playoff game when Travis Kelce goes 14 receptions for 98 yards. Very rarely do we actually take away what they want to do specifically and make them go to their second or third or fourth option. When you're able to do that more consistently, you will see a better third down conversion rate. So that's what I would like to see, like just overall as the defense is, can we take away what their number one option is? If they're going to beat us on the ground, then okay, let's make them beat us through the air. If they're going to beat us through the air with this one particular player, let's double team him and let somebody else beat us. And so that I think is something that I'd like to see us take that next step. What about you, Jack?
Yeah, it's definitely concerning. I think from a statistic standpoint, I feel like you've got to see above two sacks a game if you're going to be where we hope the Jaguars are going to be, and that is AFC contenders, even potentially threatening knocking on the door of a Super Bowl appearance. You can't get there with just barely one sack a game. It definitely was a defense and often a team that was hot and cold, but certainly the defensive side of the ball was the most hot and cold. And both playoff games really showed that. First half of the Chargers game, they could do whatever they want. And then to their credit, the second half, they really shut them down, held, you know, who a lot of people say is one of the top quarterbacks in the league, Herbert, explosive offense to 3 points. And so they have the potential. They have some really young guys that it's just going to be, can they take the next step? And I'm very hopeful, but not 100% sold at all on this unit yet.
And I think it's going to be important that a lot of people forget Mike Caldwell. It was his first year coaching the defense, and it's going to be really big for him to come back in the second year, fleshing out his system. And I like to see what he can do if he can be more consistent.
Well, that's a great transition to what we're going to be doing for the next couple of podcasts. We want to start looking at some of the position groups on both the offense and defensive side of the ball and starting to dive into the numbers, see where we're strong at, see where we're weak at, and talk about some of the progression. Joey, you called out something that I think is really important about Mike Caldwell being there for another year here as the Jacksonville Jaguars defensive coordinator on the offensive side of the ball. Obviously, we have a ton of consistency from the coaching staff as well as from the players. Think about this, like how often have the Jaguars been turning over head coaches, coordinators, all of these different position coaches, as well as personnel? We're in a rare position now where we're pretty much going to be seeing most of the same players for better or worse on offense and defense going into next year. And so there's a huge advantage for the ability to learn from the past, as well as to have confidence in where the players are, have a good, better understanding of what the playbook is. Like, I think those are some of the intangible things that you might not necessarily see in some of the stats that all of a sudden start to elevate both the offense and defensive side of the ball moving forward. So for today, we're going to look at two position groups. We're going to look at the front seven on the defensive side. So that for those playing at home, that's going to be the defensive line as well as the linebackers. And then we'll go and look at the offensive line for the Jaguars. In future podcasts, we'll look at the secondary as well as some of the position players on offense. But let's start with the defense. So Jack's already shared us some of the stats from a defensive perspective, from the sack perspective, which is interesting and certainly talks about some of the players. I'm going to read you guys the starters so that you guys are familiar. Some of these names I'm sure you will recognize either from us talking about it before or from their play from last year. But by and large, it's the exact same starting seven As you guys probably know, the Jacksonville runs a 3-4 defense, three being the first number, which is defensive linemen. So there's three down linemen and then four linebackers. From the down lineman perspective, we have Roy Robinson Harrison on the right edge, Roy Robertson Harris on the right edge. Devon Hamilton as the nose tackle and Fadakasi as our left end. And then on the outside linebackers are Josh Allen and Trayvon Walker. Typically, you'll see one of them with their hand in the dirt, so that they play almost a hybrid 3-4 at times, but they are listed on the depth chart as linebackers. And then our middle linebackers are Devin Lloyd and Aluakon. So, boys, I'll turn it over to you guys. Who is the guy that you think has the ability to be the breakout star in this group? Who is the one that has the ability to take us to the next level?
Yeah, JT, I think you hit it earlier really well of, for the first time in a long time, the Jaguars offseason for the next 2 months becomes about two words: player development. A lot of times it's been a new coach, a new system, a new quarterback, but we're seeing a lot of consistency. And the big question is going to be, can these guys take the next step? So looking at the front seven, to me, the two guys that need to take that next step is going to be Walker and actually a guy that you didn't list because he's not technically a starter, but we'll definitely see a lot of time on the field, and that is Chaisson. So both these guys have the potential to really help us in the area of sacks, getting after the quarterback, QB pressures, getting hands in the quarterback's face. To use your term, JT, you know, making a quarterback play left-handed or just not what they want to do because they don't have time to sit back there and just pick the defense apart. So I'm looking to see what can Walker do, what can Chaisson do? Can they develop? Can they take a big next step forward? They're young. They have a lot of potential, a lot of talent. And those are two guys in this area that I'm really watching to see, hey, what are they going to do training camp? What are they going to do preseason? And start of the season, what are these two guys going to do for us on the defensive side of the ball?
Hold up. Chaisson is your breakout player?
Well, I didn't say breakout player. I said these are the two guys that need to take a step forward.
He needs to take a step forward just to stay on the team right now. I mean,
That's not what the positional coach was saying. He said that he was the best looking player out there at OTAs.
Yeah, anybody can look good in shorts and a t-shirt. I mean, the dude, I think the guy has, what, three sacks in his career?
Granted, but he hasn't played that much yet.
He's had
three seasons. He's been wildly underperformed. That would be a big surprise to me if he could take a step forward. In my mind, he needs to stand out just to make the cut. Like if I'm looking at the team, like who might not even make it through preseason, he's a guy that I would certainly circle.
Well, you may want to get worried because he's the third starter for the edge right now.
That's fair, but talk about a guy who gets washed out of a play and never really pops on film. That's the guy that I think of. But you know what? That's why they play the games, and I've certainly been known to jump to conclusions too soon. But, man, that's a surprising one there, Jack.
Yeah, I mean, definitely very disappointing, but a super high draft pick, and I think you don't give up because you're not paying him a ton at this point. It obviously, if he comes in and disappoints again for a fourth straight season, for sure. I mean, at that point, you have to let him go because you're not going to re-sign him. But again, you know, this is the second year in the system, but he's got to step up or he's not going to be on the team next year.
And for those playing at home, Chaisson was originally a first round draft pick. He was picked the 20th overall in the 2020 season. And since then, he's been close to the invisible man on defense, in my opinion.
Yes. Well, my kind of standouts and I want to see perform are not the edge rushers. Everyone kind of talks about them. I think it's the people right next to them. Fadakasi and Roy Robinson Harrison. They need to have breakout years. Fadakasi, for sure. He got hurt and just was kind of nowhere to be seen. The word bust is already rolling around for him. We're like, we paid him a ton of money in free agent. And if he doesn't perform this year, he's definitely not going to be here next year. And I think Walker and Josh Allen's success will come off of these two guys. If they're able to take on more of the offensive line and let the other two rush a little more freely, I think we're going to get a lot more sacks. I think the key to the success is actually going to come from those two inside edge guys.
Okay. I could believe that. That makes sense to me. I certainly would love to see them take a next step up, because they will certainly help us in both the pass rush as well as the run defense, and just building on some of the stats that Jack shared early on. So you mentioned that we averaged a little less than two sacks per game. In our 2017 season, so when Jacksonville earned the moniker Saxonville, we were tied for first in the league with the number of sacks per game at 3.3 sacks per game. And if you look at that since then, the last 5 years, we've been averaging, our average rank was 23rd in a little less than two sacks per game. So huge step back. Last year, Josh Allen led the team with seven, then Smoot, who's no longer on the team, and then Arden Key, and then Trayvon Walker with 3.5. Just for reference, Nick Bosa had 18.5 sacks in the league. My question to you boys, what is our potential? Like how high can some of these guys go? How high can our front seven get us from a sack perspective?
I think the potential is Walker and Allen both having double-digit sacks this year is their potential. Whether they hit it or not, we'll see. But I think if they can hit double-digit sacks and we get a few from the inside, and then maybe a few from Chaisson or Yasser, I think will be a very good year for the pass rush. But it's all going to come down to Walker and Allen.
Yeah, there's just so many question marks on this area, and that's what makes it so hard, because the optimist, the diehard Jag fan in me wants to believe so hard, and I think it's certainly a possibility that we could see double-digit sacks, and we could see Josh Allen kind of performing at that rookie year level, that Trayvon Walker can perform like a number one overall pick, and I would love to see both. It's so hard to believe it. It's been a long time since Allen's produced at that elite of a level. Trayvon Walker hasn't given us that level certainly yet. And so I would love to see us, you know, get into over two sacks, 2.5 sacks, kind of be middle of the road in terms of sacks, not over there at 23 or 25 or 26. But honestly, I think if we take just a little step forward, that would also be a pretty big win, because there's just so many question marks in this area.
Yeah, I completely agree. And for one little nugget of optimism, if you actually dive into some of the advanced stats, surprisingly, our pressure rate was pretty good last year. So we averaged 25.1% QB pressure rate, which actually puts us fourth in the NFL. And for perspective, Dallas was the highest at 25.6. So we're essentially, we're right up there with the elite of the elite when it comes to pressuring the quarterback, which quite frankly is a little bit surprising to me, because it felt like half the time the opposing quarterback could play in a nightgown. But maybe that is where stats and the eye test certainly go and diverge. So there's an argument to be made that, look, we were close. We were causing hurryings. We were causing knockdowns. We were causing the quarterback some level of distress, and we just didn't necessarily close. And so there's certainly an opportunity for us to continue to improve. From a rushing defensive perspective, the Jaguars were seventh in yards per attempt given up, so around 4.2 yards per carry, and then 11th in overall run defense, averaging 114 yards per game against us. The Titans actually had the best run defense in the NFL last year, averaging about 76 yards. Any concerns or thoughts on the run defense before we switch over to the offensive line?
Well, let's just say a big shout out to an unsung hero. A lot of times this guy doesn't get a lot of love, but he shows up day in, day out. NFL leader, back-to-back seasons in tackles. Joey, I know you're a big fan of this guy. Maybe you want to give a little insight.
Huge
on him.
Fan.
Yeah, but Aluakon, I mean, come on.
Man gets gypped every year. I think he is a Pro Bowler. I don't know how he hasn't made it to the Pro Bowl yet. But yeah, he has a nose for the football. He fills the gaps really well, very good at stopping the run, though I do want to see him stop the pass a little more.
I agree, Joey. I think you even have a Aluakon jersey. He's a stud, but I'll call out Devin Lloyd. I think overall our run defense will be pretty solid. The front seven, a lot of continuity there, a lot of folks that are coming back. And so just having one extra year of experience under their belts will be huge. But if you really want to see Jacksonville take the next step from an overall defensive perspective to be top seven, to be top five in some of these categories, I think Devin Lloyd is the key. He has to be the one that shuts down the tight end. He has to be the one that has to have a little bit more understanding of where he's at on the field. And at times he certainly feels like he's got a knack to make big plays, both in college as well at times flashes, especially early on in the season. I think he could be a special player for us. Obviously another first round draft capital type of guy. So would love to see him take that next step forward.
And now onto the offensive line, which a lot of people are saying is actually the thing that we need to improve the most. We were ranked, I believe, 31st as worst offensive line. So what do y'all think about that? And what's your breakdown, JT?
So for those who remember, we'll have Cam Robinson at left tackle. He was suspended for the first four games, so he'll be out, and which probably means we'll see Walker Little starting at left tackle, or Anton Harrison, the rookie that we spent our first round draft pick. Ben Bartsch at left guard, Luke Fortner, who came in and was a really solid center for us. Brandon Sheriff, who I thought underperformed at times last year at right guard. And then Walker Little, that swing tackle, will be replacing Juwan Taylor on the right-hand side this year, as Juwan Taylor is now on the Chiefs because we couldn't afford to pay him the $20 million a year, so that Kansas City decided to fork over. That's interesting to me, Joey, that we were... That you said we're 31st in a lot of the offensive line stats.
Yes.
Personally, I thought our offensive line was actually pretty solid. Jack shared with us earlier about the rushing yards per carry. So from a run offensive perspective, we were at least efficient. And then from a passing perspective, we gave up the fifth fewest sacks in the league last year. So like, they did a really nice job protecting Trevor. Now some of that's Trevor's ability to get the ball out quickly and to maneuver within the pocket. But I mean, I didn't necessarily see them as a huge glaring weakness.
No, I mean, I agree with you. I think people from the outside looking in who don't know the Jags as much, if you look at just the names on the offensive line, no one kind of jumps out at you. And so that's why you think about it. I mean, Ben Bartsch hasn't really played. Luke Fortner was a rookie and he played well, but a lot of people said he looked a little bit weak. He wasn't able to push people around as much. And then we lost Juwan Taylor, and Cam Robinson is suspended. So if you're looking at it from the outside, I can see why people think it's such a glaring issue. But the way Walker Little played in those last couple of games was really impressive, I think. And I think he is definitely ready to take on the role of a starter. And I'm really excited to see Anton Harrison, see how he does at right tackle and whether he'll keep that position, because what do we do when Cam Robinson comes back after these four games? Do you put him right back in at left tackle? Do you move Walker Little to right tackle? What do y'all think they should do after Cam Robinson comes back?
Well, that'd be a great problem to have. If Harrison comes in, Little comes in, and both of them hold down the first four games are not the toughest by any stretch of the imagination on the Jaguars schedule. So if they come in and perform at a really high level, especially for a rookie in Harrison, and in some ways, certainly this will be his third year, but Little's only started six games. So in some ways, still very, very new, very, very young. If they both come in with not a ton of experience and perform and stand out, that would be the best problem in the world to have of three potentially really strong offensive tackles. I don't buy it yet, but would love to see it. I would say just looking at the whole offensive line group, they don't jump off the stage. They're pretty average. They're not terrible. They're pretty middle of the road. Probably give them a C or C plus with some potential. But I think what you are seeing is a commitment from the front office especially as Trevor develops, of, hey, we need to invest more and more draft capital. We need to eventually invest more in this area with Little in 2021 going in the second round, Anton Harrison this past year in the first round, that they see the need, the importance. When you go watch at Eagles, at Chiefs, it is so important to protect that franchise quarterback, that you will see them over time invest and get better. But right now, probably not world beaters, but I don't think it's going to be a huge kryptonite for us. I think they're going to be good, not great this year.
To be honest, I'm certainly higher on the offensive line than some. I think they're better than average. You don't go fifth fewest sacks in the league and have as good of a rushing yards per game as I thought. Juwan Taylor was better than a lot of folks gave him credit for too. If we see Brandon Scherff return back to the form that he's done historically, then I think this is a certainly above average offensive line.
Well, I mean, you just look at the offensive line last year. I mean, we were supposed to be terrible, and Phil Rauscher came in and made us actually somewhat decent. It helps that Trevor Lawrence doesn't hold on to the ball very long. He gets rid of it quickly. But he has now been coaching for 8 years in the NFL for three teams. He was with the Minnesota Vikings as their offensive line for the last two seasons. And he was with the Denver Broncos when they won the Super Bowl back with Peyton Manning. And he was also the offensive line coordinator there.
Awesome. Well, now we're going to go into our last segment of the day. So about a week or so ago, the Pro Football Focus put out their rankings of the NFL's top 10 head coaches entering the 2023 season. And I'll read them off, and I will tell you and highlight where Doug Peterson is. And then love to hear from you guys if you think he's higher or lower, or is there anybody else that you have a problem with? And right out of the gates, their number one coach is not Bill Belichick. However, it's Andy Reid with the Chiefs, followed by Bill Belichick at number two, Mike Tomlin at number three, then followed by Kyle Shanahan with the 49ers, John Harbaugh with the Ravens at five, Sean McVay at six with the LA Rams. Our boy Doug Peterson breaks the top seven at number seven with the Jacksonville Jags. Nick Sirianni getting some early love there with the Eagles, Sean McDermott and Brian Daboll. And if you think, well, wow, that's interesting that somebody like a rookie coach like Brian Daboll is already in the top 10. Remember that pretty much every other year, at least half of the NFL head coaches will be turned over. And so it makes sense that folks like Brian Daboll are breaking the top 10. So boys, what do we think? Is Doug correctly positioned too high, too low?
Can we just say how crazy it is that the Jaguars have a top 10 NFL head coach?
Great point.
I can't even think of when the last time that would have been.
Coughlin.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
back in the 90s.
Yeah. 20 years, over 20 years at this point.
Yeah. So, you know, number seven, I think I would probably move him up a couple spots. John Harbaugh at five is one to me that I would put Doug P over. I think no hate on Harbaugh, no hate on the Ravens, but to me, Peterson has more proven success. Obviously, the Super Bowl win with the Eagles and now being able to turn around a team that finished last in the league twice to go win the division, win a playoff game, and then compete against who turns out to be the Super Bowl champions and keep the game close on the road. That to me speaks volumes. So I don't think he's obviously at the level of Belichick or even Andy Reid, but I think you could sneak him into the top five for sure. What about you, Joey?
Yeah, I probably got him in top four. I'm really high on Doug Peterson. I probably have him right behind Steelers head coach. I mean, that man just never goes under 500, even with terrible teams. And he just has a longer record. I remember when John Harbaugh just a couple seasons ago was about to lose his job. So I was surprised how high up he is up on this head coach list. And I mean, I'll give it to Bill Belichick, how many Super Bowls he has and everything like that. But I'm with some of the crowd out here that I don't think he's honestly that good of a coach without Tom Brady.
Ooh, hot take right there.
That is a hot take. Andy Reid without Patrick Mahomes, he still won NFC championships. He was very good with the Eagles. He's done well without him. Whereas Bill Belichick, does even have a winning season without Tom Brady? I mean, we got to see the experiment. And Tom Brady went on to win a Super Bowl without him. And Bill Belichick's done nothing. I think he's old. I think he's outdated. I don't think he's very good.
Ooh. I do believe the Patriots have gone to the playoffs once with Mac Jones. Obviously a colossal talent jump from Tom Brady to Mac Jones. I don't buy the hate on Bill Belichick. I think he's an incredible coach. Obviously a perfect system. A lot of comparison of Phil Jackson and Michael Jordan, or Phil Jackson and Kobe, of who is a great one. I mean, it's a combo of the two. But that's a hot take. That's a fun take, Joey, for sure.
Yeah, I completely disagree with you on the Bill Belichick, but this is not a Patriots podcast, so I won't spend too much time on it. But at the end of the day, he is one of those coaches that can absolutely make you play left-handed, a defensive wizard, a culture wizard, certainly somebody that is more than proven. And so, yeah, I think you can certainly pencil in Andy Reid and Bill Belichick as 1-2. Tomlin's had the longevity and the consistency, so had no problems with him at 3. Kyle Shanahan at 4. Look, all he does is take backup quarterbacks to the Super Bowl. So I have no problem with That's him true. There. Honestly, Doug Peterson at 7 makes sense to me. I think he's not had the longevity and consistency as a head coach as some of these other names. And so if you could do, I mean, to your point, Jack, earlier, I thought he was robbed for the rookie or the coach of the year awards, the dumpster fire that was the Jacksonville Jaguars in 2021 under Urban Meyer, to make them a playoff team and then a playoff contender within a season is truly remarkable. So if you can do and build on the success that we had last year and take us to an AFC championship or heaven forbid, even the Super Bowl, I think you'd be hard pressed to put him at 5. So 7, I think, is reasonable with a potential to certainly jump into the top 5. With a great year this year.
What do y'all think about Sean McVay being so high up on this list?
You know, he's the boy kid wonder. He was the youngest head coach in the modern era when he joined the Rams, I think at 30 years old. And he's got a huge coaching tree, which is pretty impressive considering how short of a time he's been in the NFL. Now, so could you put him in front of Doug Peterson? Yeah, probably. Because I mean, Doug's also been fired from a team. You could say rightly or wrongly, Sean McVay has it. So it's not like Doug's been this perfect coach all along, even though I think he was probably wrongly fired from the Eagles. So I think there's certainly a path for him to skip over Sean McVay, but I don't really have a problem putting Sean over him at this stage.
Yeah. But I mean, shouldn't Sean possibly be losing his job soon? I've never seen a team go from Super Bowl winner to absolute trash that the LA Rams have done. What an implosion. How, as a head coach, can you let that happen?
Easily. You lose your quarterback, you lose your NFL wide receiver, NFL record holding wide receiver, both in the first two games of the year. And then a couple of your other offseason moves didn't make sense. And then, oh, by the way, you also leveraged your future for the Super Bowl run that you did have by trading away a lot of your draft picks. So it's always going to be a natural rebuild at this time after coming off of the Super Bowl. Was the low a little bit lower than some were expecting? Probably. But I don't think that necessarily reflects poorly on Sean McVay. Cause I mean, you could make the same argument that Doug Peterson had coming off of his Super Bowl run with the Eagles.
Hey, I'm hearing a lot of excuses over there. There's always going to be excuses. You still got to win.
I'm not saying he's a perfect coach. I mean, we're arguing about the 6th best coach at this point, whether it's 6 or 7.
I know. I'm just saying, with an implosion like that, should he even be on the list?
Joey is Joey's riding the highs and the lows of this team because, Sean McVay is probably a guy that I could see people ranking as high as 3 just from a sheer brilliance. You listen to his interviews, you see what his mind is able to do. I guarantee you if the Rams were to fire him, he would get a job within that week just because of the talent, JT's point of the connections of other coaches. I don't want to get too far off into, again, this is a Jags podcast, But I could see him as high as three and as low as probably like 15 because he is coming off such a bad year. A lot of people, you know, you buy the highs and the lows. He's still one of the top coaches, whether you put him 6, 3, or 10. They'd be crazy to fire him.
I know, but I just couldn't believe that Mike Vrabel is not on the list, who takes a mediocre Titans to almost the playoffs every year. I mean, name any star on that team besides Derrick Henry, and he's able to get that team as a contender in the AFC South. I think he is an incredible coach and is overlooked.
Yeah, I agree with That's fair. He should certainly probably be in the top 10 if you look at some of those other names, even like a Brian Daboll. I mentioned him at the end of being 10. He was the coach of the year last year for the Giants, put a lot of great stuff on film, did a lot of things that I think a lot of people never thought would be possible with Daniel Jones. So it'll be interesting. And I wouldn't disagree with you on that take at all.
All right. Well, let's close out with a lightning quick question on just a few sentences on what are you most confident for the Jaguars going into this next season? And what are you most nervous for the Jaguars next season?
I'm most confident in our wide receiver core with the adding of Calvin Ridley. I think that we're going to have thousands of yards. Trevor Lawrence, I'm just super confident in that whole side of the ball. Most nervous about covering the inside linebacker coverage, safety coverage, slot corner. That really scares me. Are we going to be able to cover tight ends? Very, very nervous.
I'm going to go most confident in Trevor Lawrence in his progression in really stepping up this season to an elite status, top five quarterback level status, competing for an NFL MVP this year and, of course, beyond. And then most nervous about is on the other side of the ball. What is it going to look like getting after the quarterback? Are some of these guys that we've talked so much about, Allen, Walker, Chaseon, Abdullah, are these guys going to be able to get after the quarterback or not? Are we going to finish closer to the bottom or closer to the top of the league in this area? That's where I have my most nerves and anxiety as a Jags fan about. What about you, JT?
I am most confident about winning. I don't see a scenario where we are not one of the best teams in the league. And the fact of the matter is, we're going to end up winning a whole lot of games. It's going to be a fun environment. It's going to feel like the Jaguars of the 90s. And it's going to be awesome being able to stack up wins against good teams this season. So extremely confident in our ability to win and nervous about nothing. I don't really see a downside at this point. I think the sky is the moon. Really excited about a lot of the players, the coaching staff, as well as our schedule. So bring it on. We'll let the emotions ride high right now.
There's a hot preseason.
You heard no notes. The sky is the moon. JT Raymond.
There's no weaknesses on the Jags.
Absolutely none.
We're going undefeated.
Let's go. 17-0, baby.
Well, we are pumped up. Love that hot take, JT. Again, we love getting to do this. Hope you're having a lot of fun. Please connect with us on social media. We really do value your feedback. It helps us a ton to know what you want to hear, what you want us to talk about. As Joey said at the beginning, we are 62 days away from Jaguars kickoff, September 10th in Indianapolis, playing the Colts. Just getting closer, counting down the days. It's going to be an epic season. Again, please make sure to hit subscribe. Make sure to give us a 5-star rating review. It encourages us. It gets the word out there. It helps with the algorithm and all of that. And so before we close, we love to do this all together. It's the three Jag Bros.
Duke Ball.